Luke records it here that he said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I want to just look at this verse just a little bit. Last week we touched on repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ. And in most places you see the word repent, it actually to change your mind, to change your thinking. This word repentance here, it comes from that, but it means a compunction. It's actually a sorrow over the way you've been thinking, over the course you've taken, over the path you've been following, over the hardness of your heart, and many such things. And so when a person changes their mind, and that's the root of repentance, usually it brings a compunction or sorrow, a regret over the course they've been taking. Repentance to a lot of people may be different. To the Jews, they had never, as a whole, I mean, there were those, the hypocrites, there were those, the deceivers, there were, but as a whole, they did not even consider themselves sinners because they kept the law of Moses. The Apostle Paul, before his conversion, he refers to that, and he says, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. Of course, we're told, well, that can't be, because if he was blameless, he'd be saved by the law. No, he was lost. He was on his way to hell. He was a Christ hater, but he was blameless concerning the righteousness of the law. But he repented. He repented, but his repentance, of course, he repented of persecuting the church, of having Christians cast in the jail, but he repented of his dead works. And these were all his religious works that he trusted in, that he was so committed to, that he later would say they were but dung. They were but garbage, something to be thrown away. They weren't anything. But he changed his mind, and this is how we often speak of repentance. If you change your mind, God will change your heart. Because you can't change your heart. You can't change what's going on inside. And that's why the angry person says, I won't get angry again, but they get angry again. That's why the person with an unclean heart says, I won't do this thing again, but they do it again. And many such things of the person's life that fit every area of a life, because you can't change your heart. You can change your mind. You can even change your actions. And some people learn how to deal with what is going on in their heart by efforts and plans to control their actions. But that all comes short of redemption, comes short of salvation. That's not how salvation works. But this repent is when you hear the gospel of Christ. See, when the gospel began to be preached, and we may go to some of these texts today, the most religious, those that considered themselves the most spiritual, were the ones that fought it the most, that immediately denounced it, immediately said it was babble, immediately begin to speak evil of it, and then begin to bring physical persecution against those that carried the gospel. But to them, and Saul of Tarsus was one of them, later the Apostle Paul, but the message was, repent. You may be religious, but repent. Change your mind. You say, from what? From anything that's contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent. Repent. It doesn't matter if you've held to it your whole life, if it's contrary to that which was recorded in the Scripture, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Change your mind. But if your life has been a life of sin, you've not held God or religion in any guard, You've considered that your way and your thoughts are just fine. How many people have I heard in my life say, well, you know, me and the man upstairs, we've got this worked out. You know what they're telling me? They don't know the man upstairs. They don't, because he's not the man upstairs. He's God, the creator of heaven and earth, who sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would trust in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the big guy. He's not that. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. But if you've trusted that your course and your life of sin, well, that was just fine for you. And you said, well, it's okay. Well, the gospel says repent. Repent. You're not going to find God taking that course. You're not just going to work it out. And at the end, you know, it's all going to work out and you're just going to go to a better place. It's not going to happen. So the message of the gospel was repent. And so it doesn't matter upon whose ears that it found, if their life and their heart was contrary to the gospel of Christ, to the truth, the message was, repent. And this is what he told them to preach to every creature, to preach in every nation. And he says this, he says, and that repentance and remission of sins. That word remission of sins, it's important that I stop and just point it out to anyone. And I trust it's everyone in this place that cares what the Word of God says. Because the word remission, that's the Greek word aphesis. And you look it up, it's freedom. It's freedom. Everywhere it's found, it's freedom. It's the same word Jesus used when he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim deliverance to the captive. It's the word aphesis. Freedom to the captive. And to set at liberty. That's the word aphesis. Liberty to them that are bruised. And so when you find it, and it's important, words have meaning. And when Jesus spoke these words, he meant something. And it's not to whether we like it or not, or we've been taught it that way or not, but what he said was that repentance and freedom should be from sin should be preached in his name among all nations. And you say, well, I just don't agree with that. Well, repent. Isn't that what repentance is? Change your mind. Well, you shouldn't tell me to repent because I don't agree. If it's not what the Word of God says, if it's not what the gospel declares, repent. I need to not be one that beats around the bush and say, well, it'd be okay because it's my way and your way. And blah, blah. No, it's the Lord's way. And he said, repent. Repent. And believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said when he came in ministry. He came preaching. Repent. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And repent. And that thing that rises up when you hear something like this, that you know what that's screaming? Repent. You say, no, it's not. It's telling me to lock my jaw and to hunker down. No, it's telling you to repent. Change your mind so that Christ can change your heart. Change. If you never change your mind, Christ will never change your heart. Because it was a twofold message that they carried was repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ, and a message that said repentance is in His name and freedom from your sins is in His name. And this was the message that Jesus said must be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's actually a simple message that repentance and freedom repentance and freedom from sin should be preached in His name. And I'm going to say it again. If you'll change your mind, God will change your heart. That's what freedom is. It's a heart that's free, that's washed, that's clean. If the heart's clean, everything's clean. Amen. Someone says, you're saying if your heart's clean, then you can go out and do filthy things, you're still clean. No, I'm saying if your heart's clean, everything will be clean. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this was what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do. This is what He commissioned the church to do. He didn't say, go into all the world and preach something. Can you see the difference? The Great Commission is not go into all the world and preach something. It's not going to all the world and preach a message. It's not to go into all the world and build churches, though churches need to be built. Hear me. Churches need to be built. But it wasn't go into all the world and preach something. Both in Mark, he said, preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel that Jesus is the Christ who came, as Gabriel said, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. He came to do it in you. He came to do it in you. You don't believe that? Well, repent then. Repent of what you've believed. Repent of what you've held to. Believe the truth, or the truth will do nothing for you. And so He said this, that repentance and freedom of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. He didn't tell Keith to go out and preach your philosophy. Preach your philosophy. Preach what you think is good, or preach what you think people will want to hear, because they can hear your philosophy. I remember this, Sister Chance, you was asking me last week about the Sanders. And the first, outside of Calvary Outreach, first place I ministered was at Brother Billy Sanders' church. You might have been there, and I didn't know you, and you didn't know me. Back over on Lee Road there, back in the old building. There on Lee Road. And I remember this, and I was fiery. You know, I was on fire. I bet I could preach 10 minutes without taking a breath. And just on fire, and I don't even remember what I preached. But afterward, Brother Sanders, I just knew him from Dad, and Dad always talked about the great church Brother Sanders had down, was it off Little York? Was it back toward Houston there? I remember that. But Brother Sanders came, put his arm around me, and said, son, you did some good ministry. And he said, but you need to learn just to get up and exhort. Get up and exhort. Because, I mean, I packed it with Scripture. I packed it. And I'm sure it was probably overdone and overblown and overcooked and a lot of over things. I'm probably certain of that. But he said, you just need to learn just to get up and exhort people and just get up and, you know, give some words. And I answered him right there, and I think to this day that I answered him well. I said, Brother Sanders, I said, I understand that. The Scripture says to exhort, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering. I said, but one thing about that. I said, I can get up and exhort, and I can just tell them what I think and tell them what I feel and tell them what they ought to be doing. And when they go out and they face the adversary, all they've got is to say, well, thus saith Keith. This is what Keith said. But if I give them what the Word of God says, if I give them what Jesus said, if I give them that which is written in the pages of the Bible, and I tell them that when they face the adversary as Jesus did, they're not just having to stand up with what Keith said or what Brother Surface said or some other minister said, but they can reply just as Jesus said, say, devil, it's written. Devil, it's written. It's written. It's written. It's the Word of God. And the things I'm preaching to you and preach to you this morning are written in the pages of the Bible. It is written. And so when you leave this place, if you forget this preacher, well, that's okay. If you forget his name, if you forget the sound of his voice, and you might hope so, that's okay. But there may come a day that you remember that it is written. It's what the Word of God says. And you can be free from the things that plague your heart, your mind, and your soul. It is written. And then say, just go preach something. Perhaps I could get a whole lot more people to like me by preaching something. But he said, go preach repentance and freedom in my name throughout every nation. That's what the apostles did. Go to Acts. Acts, the second chapter. Let's go over there. Day of Pentecost was fully come. Holy Ghost was poured out. They begin to ask, what means this? What means this? In the 14th verse, Peter stood up with the 11 and lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known to you this day, hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour. And they were mocking those as they spake in other tongues and glorified God and prophesied. They were mocking them. Peter said, they're not drunken as you suppose. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. It is written. Can you accept that? It is written. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, as the Greek word is delivered. And that's what saved means when you think about it. This is what it means. This is what is being sounded abroad. And what is it? If you repent, there's freedom. If you repent, if you'll change your mind, God will change your heart. But if you won't change your mind, your heart will never be changed. But he said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just for time, I'm going to get down. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Isn't that the first thing Jesus told him to preach? Repent. And maybe we don't preach repentance as we ought to. But that's the first thing that Peter said. Well, repent. You've been going the wrong way. You've been doing the wrong thing. You've been trusting the wrong thing. Repent. And God will grant you repentance. He'll let you turn around if you want to turn around. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the freedom of sins. See, he's doing exactly what Jesus told him to do. You go preach repentance and freedom. You go tell them, if they'll change their mind, I'll change their heart. You go tell them, if they'll believe me, I'll make all things new. And it's the gospel. It's a simple gospel. It's a simple message. Well, it went over well that day, but it didn't go over with the religious leaders and the religious elite. And they, as these begin to preach the gospel and the works of God begin to be heard, the great miracle that was done, They took the apostles, they beat them, they commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. You can go, you can worship, you can heal the sick, you can do whatever, but don't preach in the name of Jesus. Don't preach that in His name is repentance and freedom. Don't preach that. I want to tell you, almost 2,000 years later, there's many in the church house saying we can have your fellowship, we can get along one another, but don't preach that repentance and freedom from sins is in the name of Jesus. Well, here they are. They're arrested. 5th chapter, 17th verse, the high priest rose up, and all they were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." You know what the words of this life are? Repentance and freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the words of this life. Jesus is the Christ. Came into the world to make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness. He'll do it in you. He'll do it in you. Is there anybody in this place feels like I'm always pointing at you? Let me know. Raise your hand. I'll point over here. I use this hand to point because I'm always pointing here. This is my pointer hand. But He'll do it in you. And maybe God has me pointing at you. I should just leave that alone. He'll do it in you. He died for all. He died for you. But you will change your mind if you want Him to change your heart. Go stand in the temple. You've just been beaten and told to shut up. Learn your lesson. The angel opens the door. Opened the prison doors, brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." The priest heard about it. In the 26th verse, the disciples went to the temple, began to do what Jesus told them to do. 26th verse, then with the captain, with the officers, and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." How many still agree with that? We ought to obey God rather than man. He said, go preach repentance and freedom among all nations. He said, go do that. He said, go stand in the temple and give them the words of this life. Sister Robin, you came to a scripture this morning that's on my heart. Jesus said they were offended because He said, the bread from heaven is my flesh, which I lay down for the life of the world. And they were saying, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? And Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And this gospel, this simple gospel, is spirit and life. They are the words of this life. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel." And it's the Jewish council. He's right in the middle of Israel there. Repentance, that's what Jesus said. Preach repentance and forgiveness. Oh, well, that's something different. Actually, no, it's a mistranslation. Look it up. You say, if you care what the Word of God says, look it up. It's the word Ephesus. It's freedom. Peter didn't use Ephesus a chapter before and says it means one thing, and now it means another. He's saying the same thing. He's saying what Jesus said. He said that He has come to grant repentance to Israel and freedom from sins. And we're going to tell it. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey Him. Obey Him. And they were the ones standing up doing what Jesus told them to do. Preach repentance. Preach freedom. Preach, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. Preach it. Don't get carried away with religious philosophy, with religious reasoning. Just preach it. The Apostle Paul would say right later, he come over those that were all their contentions about baptizing, who they were baptized of, who they were of. And he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. He didn't send me to get caught up in those contentions. He sent me to preach repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. He sent me to preach repentance and freedom. He sent me to tell you, if you'll change your mind today, God will change your heart. If you'll believe the Word of God, He will make all things new. And this is what Paul said. And then Paul will write in 1 Corinthians, 1:17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance. How shall a man be free in an age where you can go to any church or any corner and they'll tell you you can never be free? Why does Paul say, but it's the power of God unto deliverance. It's the power of God to deliver a soul. It's the power of God to break the chains. It's the power of God to make it. And I'm not ashamed of it. I won't be silenced about it. Jesus said, preach it among all nations. It is the power of God to save, to deliver a soul to everyone who believes it.